Well, we continue to read the story of Abram, come to a kind of crucial climactic point, Genesis 21. Lorna's going to read it for us.
Our reading this morning is from Genesis 21, verses 1 to 7. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks to Norman and David for starting off. So I pray that the Holy Spirit may help us to adjust as the accent changes. we are still on our series on Abraham, and our theme this morning is the waiting is over. The waiting is over. And we read from Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 to 7. David has already mentioned that we are in the Advent period. The mood of the period is expectant waiting, hopeful anticipation. As Christians, we are looking ahead and preparing to celebrate with joy the coming of Christ at Christmas and also his return as a judge at the end of time. Christ once came as a baby over 2,000 years ago, and at some point in the future, he will come back as a judge. He once came as a baby, and at some point in the future, he will come back as a judge. Both arrivals, the first one over 2,000 years ago, and his return at some point in the future, all the two arrivals bring an end to waiting. The two arrivals bring an end to waiting. That is our theme this morning. The waiting is over. So when he comes at the end of time, we will say the waiting is over. Waiting is not easy, like what David has been alluding to. We all want good things to happen in our lives. But often we want them to happen now and suddenly and not later. When things do not happen immediately, we are tempted to ask when, God, when and why? Yet faith requires that we trust God even if we don't know how and when he will accomplish what needs to be done. So generally, waiting is a given. Waiting is a given. Whether one is a Christian or a non-Christian, waiting is a given. We are going to wait. The difference is just upon whom do we wait? The word of God tells us to wait upon God. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So Christians wait upon God. And as Christians, we learn from the Bible that the practice of waiting is woven into the spiritual experience of every godly man or woman. The practice of waiting is woven into the spiritual experience of every godly man or woman. So waiting is a necessary feature of our relationship with God. What God does in us while we wait upon Him is just as important as what we are waiting for. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says, the suffering we go through while waiting produces something of great value in us. That something is called perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope will never disappoint us. James also talks about that, and in James chapter 1 verse 2, he says, dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And don't try to wriggle out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything. Strong in character, full and complete. So waiting has a greater redemptive purpose. God is always working while we wait. He works in our circumstances. He works in us. So waiting seasons are periods of time when God fashions us into a people He wants us to become. Thus, in our Christian walk, we move from one waiting period into another. So when we say the waiting is over, it's just one season of waiting which has come to an end, and we start a new season of waiting. So we said our theme this morning is the waiting is over. A theme which I came up with after reading the text that we read this morning. We have been following the narrative about Abraham to this point. And the narrative has been driven by Abraham's lack of a child and an heir. That's what has been driving the narrative, the story that we have been following. So if we have been following the story, we have been looking for a day, we have been looking forward, or we have been longing for a day when God would give Abraham and Sarah a child. So we have come to the climax of the story. The waiting started from Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, where we are told that, where the Bible says, but Sarai was barren, she had no child. We have been following the ups and downs of Abraham and Sarah's faith, longing for the seed to come. The section of this narrative that we read this morning relieves the tension. We can exclaim, what a relief. It relieves the tension of the narrative, at least up to this point. The text that we read reveals God's faithfulness. So the suspense that has been maintained since chapter 12 ends with this miraculous episode. This section emphasizes on what God had said and what he had spoken. Verse 1 to 2 emphasize the precision of God's control. It is emphasizing that God has been in control in all the ups and downs of Abraham and Sarah's faith. God has always been in control, making sure that he would fulfill his promises. Moses insists on God's faithfulness by repetition in the opening verses. Moses is the writer of Genesis. So he said, "The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age." This happened at just the time God had said it would. So Moses was emphasizing that it was God from day one. God has been in control and God has kept his word. God has kept his promises. He has fulfilled the promises. God was totally faithful to what he had promised. He was abundantly faithful down to the smallest detail of his promise. And he will never change. He is just like that. He remains faithful up to this day. The impossible promise came to pass. It was impossible. The impossible promise, it just started when it was already impossible. He promised the son to Abraham and Sarah when Sarah was 65 and Abraham was 75. Humanly speaking, it was already impossible. So the impossible promise came to pass. This was how God created Israel. This was the fulfillment of this promise was the beginning of the creation of Israel. God's own people, his chosen people, his peculiar people. That's how he started to create the seed of Abraham. That's how he started to create his own people. The creation of his chosen people started with such an impossible and miraculous act. So there is something supernatural about the people of God. It's good that we are part of the people of God, and there is something supernatural about us. No one will ever be able to overthrow or overcome or annihilate them. Even Hitler couldn't annihilate the people of God. God's people are a miracle people. We have an impossible beginning. That impossible beginning carries with it our certain preservation. We are a product of God's grace. The fulfillment of God's promise in the birth of Isaac is an act of God's grace. What is God's grace? God's grace is the act of salvation or deliverance that takes place outside of human possibility and in spite of human sin. If you have been following the story of Abraham, we sometimes would doubt whether Abraham was really the father of faith, because there were lots of ups and downs. The previous chapters that we have been learning or we have been thinking about would show that there were lots of ups and downs in their lives, in their walk with God. But God fulfilled his promise as an act of grace, because grace is that which takes place outside of human possibility and in spite of human sin. We understand that in the narrative, Abraham laughed at the idea when God told him in Genesis 17, verse 17, that he will give him a son that would come from Sarah's womb. Abraham laughed. And Sarah laughed as well when the promise was repeated in Genesis 18, verse 12. So, humanly speaking, they were laughing because it was impossible. Grace is that which takes place outside of human possibility and in spite of human sin. But verse 1 shows the grace of God. The writer of Genesis said, the Lord visited Sarah. The Lord visited Sarah. The Hebrew word translated as visit actually indicates divine intervention. When it was humanly impossible, it required divine intervention. God had to intervene on behalf of God's people for the fulfillment of his plan. So, it means God visited Sarah graciously. The Lord visited Sarah to meet his perfect plan in his perfect timing. And there's something that I noticed as I read the text, that there is no mention of Abraham being in any way responsible for the begetting of Isaac. Though Abraham was 100% the father of Isaac, Abraham had no power alone to produce this child. He was as good as dead. The writer of Hebrews 11, verse 12 to 14, says Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead. So he had no power to produce the child. The Lord was mighty enough to bring the begetting of Isaac. That which was conceived in Sarah was of God. And this sounds so much like the birth of Jesus Christ, the true seed of Abraham, the Messiah. There are lots of biblical stories in the Bible, but all the stories are telling one big story. That's why we find echoes of the birth of Christ, even in the birth of Isaac. We now know the whole story, and we can hear some echoes of the birth of Jesus Christ, because there are lots of stories in the Bible, and all of them, all the stories in the Bible are telling one big story. It is the story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. That's the story of the Bible. At the center of that biblical story, there is a baby that we are remembering this Christmas season or this Advent season. At the center of the biblical story, there is a baby that we are remembering this Christmas season. And every story in the Bible whispers the name of this baby. Every story in the Bible whispers the name Jesus Christ. It whispers his name. So Jesus Christ is like the missing piece in the puzzle, the piece that makes all the other pieces fit together. When we see Christ, when we see Christ in every story, then suddenly we can see a beautiful picture in every story of the Bible. So Abraham and Sarah were living out a parable. They were living out a parable. What is a parable? When I was in primary school, I was taught that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I don't know how accurate that definition is. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And the story of Abraham and Sarah became clear when it was explained in the New Testament. The failures of Abraham and Sarah were not mentioned in Hebrews 11. The New Testament makes the story very clear. And when we come to Hebrews 11, we are not told about their failures. We are not told about their ups and downs. Their sins were never mentioned. And I was talking to other folks, and we said, that is what is going to happen when we get to heaven. Our sins will never be mentioned. We will be known as people who believed in Christ Jesus. We will be known for our faith. And everything, our failures will never be mentioned because we are products of grace. Even the birth of Ishmael, was well explained by Paul in Galatians 4, verse 28 to 29. Paul makes it clear that Ishmael represents the believer's first birth, the flesh. Ishmael represents the flesh, and Isaac, the son that we are thinking about, the baby that we are thinking about in this text, Isaac represents the second birth, the spirit. Ishmael was born of the flesh because Abraham had not yet died and was still able to beget a son, Genesis 16. Isaac was born of the spirit because by that time his parents were both dead and only God's power could have brought conception and birth. So Paul explains that Ishmael was born first because the natural comes first before the spiritual. When one trusts or gives his life to Jesus Christ, one experiences a miracle birth from God, according to John 1, chapter 1, verse 11 to 13. So we now realize that Abraham and Sarah were living a parable. The story of their life had a deeper meaning than what they were seeing on the surface. Every participant in the life of Christ Jesus is living a parable. We could be living a parable. We cannot understand the life that God is leading us through. It could be a parable that can help the next generation. We might not know it, but everyone who is a participant in the life of Christ is living a parable. A life that will eventually have a meaning that explains the grace of God. The storyline of our lives is a script written by God. He unfolds the episodes of the script of our lives at his own perfect time. So we find so many similarities between what happened to Abraham and also the birth of Isaac being similar to the birth of Jesus Christ, the true seed of Abraham. There was a long delay in the appearance of Isaac, and there was also the supernatural manner of his coming. And we said it was a picture of how the people of God were supposed to wait for the birth of Jesus Christ. They were supposed to wait for the first Christmas. The birth of Isaac and that of Jesus Christ involved a long delay and a woman who could not conceive. One woman, Sarah, could not conceive because she was barren and old. The other woman could not conceive because she was a virgin. This is Mary. Both conceived by the supernatural hand of God. The Lord visited old Sarah and the Lord visited young Mary. Mary said, "How can I conceive, seeing I have not known a man?" And Gabriel, the angel, replied to her. He said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, So with Sarah, God helped an aged couple to do what no other couple of such an age had ever done before or since. With Mary, God enabled her to have a child, though she was a virgin. And the link between Mary and Sarah was underlined in the words of the angel to Mary, when the angel said, "And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Luke chapter 1, verse 36. For with God, nothing will be impossible. So in this story, we realize that God uses long-range planning as he unfolds his purposes on earth. He uses long-range planning, and he could involve us in that long-range planning. We could be participants and we don't know it. Our lives could be just part of that long-range plan of God, and we might not know that we are living a parable. That's why he blesses those who wait upon him. We cannot understand what God would be doing in our lives. Sometimes we get into very long waiting periods where we could be waiting for our healing, where we could be waiting for a baby, where we could be waiting for anything. And God says, those who wait upon me, those who wait upon him, will renew their strength. So God is a long-range planner. To Habakkuk, he said, but these things that I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, and this is a quotation from the Living Bible, where God was saying to Habakkuk, the vision, the things that I'm planning might take time, but wait for them. Be patient. They will not be overdue in a single day. We realize this in the story of Abraham and Sarah, that Isaac came just in the perfect timing of God. He was not overdue even for a single day or a minute or a second. He came just at the right time. So we are supposed to wait for God. This should encourage us to wait for God, to wait upon him, because he is faithful to fulfill his promises. He cannot lie. So we should be patient in the knowledge that God might have included us in his long-range planning. Matthew provides an exhaustive list of Jesus' ancestors, beginning with Abraham. The genealogy demonstrates God's long-range plan to save the human race. God made sure to cover every step and prepare every person to participate in the line of Christ. So effective leaders lay plans with the end in mind, and God is an effective leader. He's an effective father. He's our effective God. He plans effectively. He lays his plans with the end in mind. So we should be prepared to wait for him, because he has made us participants in the line of Christ. When we wait for God, he gives us the opportunity to live out a story that portrays the gospel and serves as a kingdom parable. He has designed that his blessings come through waiting upon him. The blessings come not just when the waiting is over, but they come through God's presence with us in the waiting. He will always be with us in the waiting. We will not wait alone. We will not be alone in the waiting season. His presence will be with us. So let us live our Christian life as those that are waiting upon the Lord, as we wait for Jesus Christ's return. So the waiting journey begins with a promise. The waiting journey begins with a promise. We learn from the narrative about Abraham and Sarah that the waiting begins with a promise. And it is usually, it goes like promise, problem, and then provision. After God's promise, we usually enter into a place which looks like a wilderness, a waiting season which looks like a wilderness where we have to wait for God. So it is always promise, problem, provision. But we should always wait. God will bless our waiting because we would have considered him faithful. While we wait, we should always remember that we have other promises that sustain us. We have a promise that he will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So his presence will always be with us in the waiting. He will always be with us in the wilderness. He will always be with us in the seasons of waiting. When we become weary, he renews our strength. He has promised that all things will work together for our good. All things will work together for our good while we wait. And he also promised that nothing will separate us from his love in Jesus Christ. And he who has begun a good work in us, he will put it unto completion. We learn that from the story that we read today, which shows that for Abraham and Sarah, when God blessed them with the son that they were waiting for, the waiting was over. So we get the joy as we get from one waiting period unto the other. We realize for Sarah and Abraham that their waiting was over when they got the child, when they got the baby. But we will notice that it was just the end of one waiting period unto another. If it was a movie, you would think that after the birth of Isaac, it was supposed to end. But it doesn't end there. It continues because it was supposed to bring the whole picture of Jesus Christ up to the time when Abraham would have to sacrifice his only son. And then God would give him a substitute lamb to sacrifice. And the story goes on and on. Because when we are participating in the storyline of Jesus Christ, we move from one waiting period to another, but we always celebrate the end of any waiting period. So for today, in this text, we have learned that the waiting is over, but it is just up to this point, and as they started to get into another waiting period. May God bless us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you for your eternal story, for the story that transforms us. Thank you for reenacting your story in our midst, the story that will never lose its power. Thank you for our father of faith, Abraham. Thank you for the exemplary lives that those who came before us demonstrated so that we could follow. Thank you for the stories that were written for our benefit. We want to thank you for all the shadows that were showing us Christ. We want to thank you this morning that you might continue to speak to us as we continue to think about this story, as we continue to think about the waiting seasons. Help us and renew our strength we are weary and heavily burdened. Help us in our waiting seasons to wait upon you so that we realize the blessing of waiting. We want to thank you, Father. We give you all the glory this morning, and we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.